Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you, British Lady. And welcome, Pop Culture Stars, for 10-5. Not to be confused with 10-4. 10-5-22. Appreciate everybody joining us. Hope everybody's doing fantastic out there listening. I am your host, Dave. Oh, Atwell, who's about ready to go outside, light up his delicious cigar, Godfather Cigars. After going through the janky back door at Atwell Manor, go around the horn and introduce my most esteemed panel for tonight's broadcast. And in this corner, hailing from the wonderful state of Arkansas, Granny Hulkster, how are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I was going to go sit outside on my front porch because it's kind of a nice, cool evening, but you might not be able to hear me with all the motorcycles going up and down the street. Bikes, Blues, and Barbecues started this week in northwest Arkansas. They used to have it in Fayetteville every year. And I mean tons and tons and tons of motorcycles. I mean just room, room, room everywhere. But the fine mayor of Fayetteville decided that they didn't want Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue anymore, so they've kind of moved it up to Rogers, but I'm still hearing a lot of motorcycles up and going down the street in front of my house, you know, all hours of the night and early morning. And I just actually got home from helping one of my wrestling friends. He was doing a meet and greet for his to promote his wrestling shows this Saturday night in Bentonville, Arkansas, for Ozark Mountain Wrestling. So I called him yesterday, and I told him, I said, well, Kevin, if you need my help, you know, I'll be glad to come up and help you. So I went up to Rogers this afternoon, about 3:30 this afternoon, and I just walked in the door. So. But I'm good, you know, I'm good, you know, and I had my heart cath done on the 23rd of September, and I'll know more when I go back for my follow-up, you know, see if what they found, if anything, but I really don't think they found anything because otherwise they wouldn't have sent me home the same day. So, I mean, all is well in the Burt household, you know, and in Granny's household, all is well. So, you know, I'm good, you know, so glad to
Very
be
good.
On the show tonight with you guys. So,
yeah, it's good to have you here. Appreciate you joining us tonight. Now I'm going to kick it to the east, to the potentially invading state of Indiana, where the alpacalypse may start. I've been waiting all week
picture.
To use that word.
I love that picture that you all posted. That was so funny.
To the guy behind the madness in Alpacaville, Indiana. Tim, what's going on, buddy?
Madness is all right. That's definitely the correct term around here. Speaking of which, not a new alpaca, but we did add a new goat to the family. So it's kind of a funny story. I won't get into it now, but bottom line is a truck pulled in the driveway. I had no idea what was going on. Went outside and counted 5 goats instead of 4. Welcoming a new one to the family. So we've gotten a little bit bigger in the last week. Looking forward to a good show tonight. Glad to be here.
Very good.
All
good
I
to
got
have you
to
bored.
Say about that all I got to say about that extra goat is bah.
That's right. If they ask you want another goat, you just tell them nah. Great goat joke. Can't go far without that goat joke. Outstanding. So, good to have you aboard this evening. And as he had just done a nice little goat, what do? They bleat or crow or neigh or I don't know what the hell a goat does. Regardless, in the healing.
That's what a goat does.
There you go. That's pretty authentic, man. You got one right there at the phone or what?
No, I don't. That's just what a goat says.
Wow. That's pretty convincing, man. You ought to go on the road with that. The goat call.
Well, I got to share. Go ahead and introduce Todd, and then I'll share my little funny story before we get started.
Gotcha. Very good. Todd, what are you shaking, brother?
Another day in paradise. Just a bunch of little things going on, pondering the mixed messaging in life. You know, I've got all these people that I've worked with and done stuff with all my life and shown projects, and you're like, well, you're not special for that project. And then I've worked with educators and bosses. You turn something in, and they're like, oh, you're special. So dealing with that mixed messaging, trying to suss it all out, there's that going on. Did find out, was at work today, was talking with someone about what turned out to be a rather pleasant day despite the brisk morning. They said the temperature was 76, and I was like, that's the spirit. They didn't necessarily get it, so, but other than that, doing outstanding and supernatural, and I'm ecstatic to be here. Happy Wednesday, people.
Outstanding. Good to have you here, brother. Always good to have you aboard. So before we get going, we're going to kick it back over to Granny. And Granny, fill us in on what you got.
Well, I told you I went and helped my friend, you know, with his meet and greet tonight, you know, for the wrestling show. And of course, my son and my husband, they were both teasing me. My son especially, he says, wow, he says, that's a scary thought that Kevin wants Granny's help. And David says, yeah, he must be really desperate for, you know, help, asking you. And I said, well, that's just mean of you guys. And David says, well, if we were nice to you, you'd think something was wrong with us. And I told my friend Kevin that. He just kind of laughed, you know. But, I mean, there's nothing that I wouldn't do to help any of my wrestling family members, you know. I mean, but, you know, I love my wrestling family, and I can count on them when they need me, you know, when I need them. And, you know, we're there for each other, and that's what it's all about, is family. I mean, you know, people don't always understand. When you talk about the wrestling family, and I'm sure if Stro was on here with us, he could vouch for this 110%, but when you have that wrestling family, when you have that wrestling family, I mean, you are a part of something very special. I mean, like, my wrestling friends, they always make Anthony feel like he matters, you know, and I mean, they're always there for us. And I can't just express thanks enough for what my wrestling family does, you know, for us, to help us when we need it, you know. And I love them. I mean, I love each and every one of them, you know. And so I'm a blessed person when it comes to my extended wrestling family that I have. And I have a lot of friends in the wrestling world that I'm proud to say they're not only my friends, but I consider them family. So, you know, I'm proud to say that. So, but
yeah, cool. I'm sure they appreciate your help. Go in there and get everybody riled up. Yeah, so that's good.
Well, you know, we were handing out flyers to people, because, you know, people from Bikes, Booze, and Barbecue, they had their little meet and greet at a place called Ozark Beer, because they're one of their sponsors for this show, you know, for this particular show. So people were coming in to have a beer after riding their motorcycles and stuff, and getting off work and getting into town, you know, for Bikes, Booze, and Barbecue. They had a food truck set up there by, you know, and people were getting food and stuff and, you know, drinking their beer, and just, we were handing out flyers and talking to people. And, you know, this one guy told me, he says, I'll give you $100 if you can body slam my friend over here. And I said, well, I may not be able to body slam him, but I can put him in a headlock for you. You know? So it was a lot of fun. you know, it was a lot. We have a lot of fun. I mean, we have a good time when we do these meet and greets. So.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'm glad you were able to participate. And I'm sure, like I said, everybody's happy to have you around. It's always good to have support on those shows like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, matter of fact, so it was a lot of fun tonight. So I'm glad I got to go help with it. So.
Yeah, cool. And it's good to hear you're back safely to the house after doing all that traveling and everything. So tonight's topic.
Well, Rogers is only about 20 from my house, so it's not too bad.
So it's not that far out.
Yeah. Kind of
like a drive to Route 1 ends for us out here.
Well, it's like you have Fayetteville, Springdale, Lowell, Rogers, Bentonville, Bella Vista. I mean, it's all kind of just, you know.
Oh. Yeah, the only reason why I'd pull over in Bentonville is to take a shit, and I'll leave that Todd understands.
Todd, well, actually, there's plenty there to take, but personally, I'd rather leave one.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Unbagged and fresh. Stop off at some big-ass barbecue place on the way to Bentonville. Make the deposit, then keep right on driving. Inside joke. Nevertheless, yeah, good to have everybody here tonight. So tonight's topic, well, there's a bunch of stuff right now going on when it comes down to the viewing pleasure, you know, your TV, your movies, your what they call that, streaming, all that kind of stuff. And we were lucky enough to get through the hurricane. Ian, actually, the weatherman lied to us here in Eastern Carolina, and that thing was supposed to take a turn right around Savannah, cut up through Georgia, and go through Tennessee, but it kept cruising along the Gulf Stream there and ended up taking a hard left at Dr. John's house and really blew through Myrtle Beach, put quite a bit of the resorts underwater there, right there on the beach, which I'm sure they're used to every time a hurricane event comes up. Here in Jacksonville, we got wind, we got a lot of rain, no power outages, just a couple days worth of yard work, that kind of stuff. No flooding, just a miserable day and a half, and nice weather following up, so you can go out in your yard and pick up the 400 broken sticks that are laying about before you go to mow again. Nevertheless, if there was one thing that did good come out of it, that it gave some folks some time to sit around and do a little binging, a little TV watching or whatever, because the power was out. So I'm going to kick it around the room. What are you guys watching, or what have you watched, or what are you looking forward to watching? Don't nobody raise their hand.
I got to go with keeping in theme with the season. On Netflix, I had just finished watching Ash vs. the Evil Dead. As far as I know, it was a finale, and I figured it seemed appropriate there because it started, taking me forever to get through it, to be honest. But did get through it here over the weekend, and I thought it was kind of funny because one of the things, you know, they'll show stuff on the TV in the background and try to make it fit the theme of what's going on. Man, there was a 70s Northeast Ohio TV reference on there, and I was like, wow, I don't know where they dug that up in the archives. But given the sources of the guys that started that up there in out of Michigan, it's not a real big shock that they were aware of the influence from the area. But we're talking about something that happened on an old UHF channel.
Oh,
back
wow.
When you only had VHF, UHF. Just saying. So it was a little deep and dark to get to. So that was, so that's something I kind of finished watching, and I thought that would fit the season. You know, Halloween-esque, if you will.
Yeah, because we're only, what, 26 days out of Halloween. Halloween falls on Monday this year, which is kind of a lousy day. If it ain't happening on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, Halloween kind of takes one on the chin, especially on a Monday. But nevertheless, yeah, you want to talk about some good viewing, though, man. Halloween viewing is always good. And you got a little bit of everything out there that could be deemed as Halloween viewing. And it doesn't have to be anything gross or anything scary or super violent or anything. It could be anything from The Great Pumpkin right on back, which The Great Pumpkin still holds up, if you ask me. If Dr. John was a Peanuts character, he would definitely be Linus. While the rest of us was telling him he was full of shit, he'd be the guy to see The Great Pumpkin.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take that part of it. He would be.
That would be Dr. John for certain. Yep. So, Tim, what kind of stuff you been out there looking at lately, young man?
Well, I was going to say, you know, I was going to suggest if people are interested in something that kind of hits all the genres, because it's definitely comedy. There's some action, definitely some horror, and a lot of violence. And it's basically, Todd will know it, it's called the McTiff's Fiscal Audit. You know, that's going to be jam-packed with everything from all those genres. No, on a serious note, I've been watching about four different things. Two of them really stand out. And no, I guess I can't continue the theme because I've not really – we haven't really gotten into Halloween spirit yet. I know we're a little late. Here it is October 5, and Halloween's one of my favorites. So I'm kind of surprised we've not gotten into a couple of the spirit shows. Well, now I take that back.
Well, I'm assuming you have some fake tombstones you can set up.
At least three of them.
That is very true. We do have.
That joke's not good.
They are. Yep, they are currently in the garage. I don't even have those out, as proud as I was to display them as a their secondary role in life. But, yeah, one of them, I guess I lied. I guess it is kind of a more of a thriller-type show, but Steve Carell's doing a pretty good job in a series called The Patient. I don't know if anybody has been watching that.
That's the one where he plays the shrink. It's almost like Misery, where he gets captive in a house and everything.
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. It looked pretty good.
Yeah. And at first you would think, okay, how good is this going to be? But I like it. I'm impressed. And he does an amazing job. Because he's one of those characters that... well, maybe not as much as some others that come to mind, but you almost expect him to be in, like, a funny role. Some people, absolutely, they're hysterical, but they can't pull off anything else but that. He's not one of those. He's been in a couple others where he had more of a dramatic-type role, and he can definitely do it. So his resume is pretty broad. But there's that, and we've been picking up a little bit more on The Handmaid's Tale. I don't know if anybody ever got into that. The other show that I guess kind of goes along the lines of Halloween, but it's a little eerie because it's based on a true story. We've been watching Dahmer.
I want to hear about that.
Well, I don't know. I've heard people say that based on what they've read, there's complaints that it's not close enough to the truth. I personally do not know. I cannot back that up or deny that or whatever. It's interesting. I'll give it that.
Well, I suppose that's really eating you that you don't know.
Yeah.
The writing's a little choppy.
But, you're right. That's good.
We'll be here all week, folks.
Oh, that's good. Nice. Okay. Go on. We got to give you a topic you can sink your teeth into.
Right.
Oh, hey now.
Boom. Granny CERN. Come on. She's got to have one in there somewhere.
Hey, you guys are cooking tonight.
Yeah, Granny. Give us something to chew on here.
Well, I mean, right now it's that time of year, and one of the channels, they always show, they call it 31 Days of Halloween, and they have a different movie. They started on the 1st of October, and they play a different Halloween movie every night, a different one every night for the month of October, which is sometimes kind of cool. I mean, I don't always watch it every year. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, but I've kind of missed the first few movies that they've showed. But I like to watch the Food Network channel. I like to, when I'm not watching my Chiefs play football, which they beat the Buccaneers Sunday. Woo-hoo, I was so happy that I watch the Food Network channel. I like to watch Topped, and I like to watch Guy's Grocery Games and Beat Bobby Flay. And they've got these new shows out there called Outcheft, and they've got one that Bobby Flay just started. I watched it last night. He has three of his people that he's had on his Beat Bobby Flay show as chefs, and then he brings in one individual chef, and if that one individual chef can beat his three people, that person gets $25,000 in cash, which is kind of cool.
Well, I think it's ironic that we referenced Jeffrey Dahmer, and you brought up the Food Network.
They do the Halloween Baking Championship show contest, you know, and stuff during the month of October too, you know, so where they bake the different cakes and cookies and different things, and they have to create designs for their cakes. It's a competition, which is kind of cool. But one I think is really interesting that's fun to watch, they call it Supermarket Stakeout, and they actually are in a parking lot. And they get 500, they start off with four people in the competition. And they start off with $500 in cash, and they go up to the store and they buy groceries from the people coming out with their groceries, and then they have to cook whatever theme they're doing, like tailgating or whatever they have to cook. They have to cook a type of item, and then the person that wins gets a year's free of groceries, a whole year's free of groceries that they win.
Well, that's
cool. Kind of cool. But they actually cook in the parking lot at a grocery store, inside of a grocery store parking lot.
Sounds like some of the mess used to happen at the club on a Sunday. Except there was never anything sanctioned. There was always some panhandler out there burning a bush to cook his hot dogs that he stole or something like that. Mr. Dave, can you come up front? There's a bum outside burning the landscaping. Okay, be there in a minute. Tell him not to go anywhere. Yeah, now, speaking on the Dahmer thing, I just wrapped up with watching that thing right before the show ended. And I got to tell you, yuck. I mean, we all know that this guy was not a saint. We get that. That's no sweat. But, man, and I'm sure there's some Hollywood embellishment going on in the tale, as there are with, you know, with anything else, because, you know, life in general is pretty boring. And, you know, take, for instance, the George Clooney boat, Perfect Storm. If you read the actual book by Sebastian Younger, The Perfect Storm, you'll find that all the stuff that happened in that movie actually happened. It just didn't happen all on one trip. These were all stories that different guys had told Sebastian Younger while he was in Gloucester, and he kind of, you know, chronicled all of them in the book. And then, of course, Hollywood took the rights to the book and took all of that stuff and mashed it into one boat ride. And, you know, anybody in the fishing industry would have said, well, had that happened, we'd have turned around the boat. We wouldn't have had to done all this other stuff. But, yeah, I noticed with the Dahmer thing, I'm sure there was an awful lot of, I use the term embellishment quite often. I don't want to call them lies or make-believe because there is some truth sprinkled in there. But, my God, I mean, it was just, you almost felt like you had to wipe off after watching it. And in the event that they portrayed his family truthfully, he was screwed as a fetus. I mean, his mother was a pill popper and a damn lunatic. His dad was only concerned about himself and money. It just, the whole thing was just set up to fail. And, man. But you know what I find hard to believe about these shows? And I guess, I don't know, we've all been through it with our children. We've been through it with family members. We've been through it with coworkers and friends and everything, where you know something's up. And you kind of take a kind of the old not my monkeys, not my circus approach to it. And, you know, it's, take for instance, if you have one nephew, every time that nephew comes over to the house, something turns up missing, okay, you don't keep inviting the little prick to the house and let him rob you blind for the next 6 years of his life. You stick a fork in the turkey, and you approach it, and you say, hey, look, every time he shows up, something turns up missing. Not calling the thief. I'm just telling you exactly what I see, and I would appreciate it if you, being his handlers, would take an active approach in solving this for me. Otherwise, the alternative would be y'all never come over to my house again. And I know those are hard words, and I know that's the hard conversation to have with family members and friends and everything. But when you're in a situation like that, and his next-door neighbor, I feel for him because the damn law. Now, you know, again, you could see the Hollywood agenda kind of tones mildly salted in there, how they, you know, kept sniping the cops in the show and all that kind of jazz. And, yes, did the cops screw up quite a bit of that thing? Yes, they did. But does that mean that every cop in the state of Wisconsin is a dirtbag? Not at all. Not at all. But, yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, it was oogie. Almost want to make you take a shower after watching it. It was just very well done, very compelling. But nevertheless, you felt greasy after watching it. But, so, of course, after doing that, I moved on to the miniseries they just put on there about that, what's her name, Vallow, the blonde chick who had the two kids and went off the deep end with this apocalyptic author guy. And then her kids turned up missing, and then she went to, like, Idaho or Utah or something like that. And now they finally arrested her. They found the kids, and they arrested her, and now she's waiting trial. I started watching that, and that's another sad story, because apparently that chick just totally flipped the switch somewhere in her psyche, and damn shame. But again, curious to see what kind of intervention that was put in there, you know, through the family and friends and everything. Just kind of curious to see how many people actually tried to set things right before tragedy struck. So, be interesting to watch. I need to find something a little more uplifting after this one. probably watch something like Caddyshack or something like that. The Hangover. Something to get the laughs going. But,
oh, man, Boondock Saints.
Hmm. That was a great flick.
Or me, I like The Exorcist. I've seen it 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it. Now, what do you think? Oh, sorry. Beetlejuice, though, had to bring it up for Halloween, man.
Yeah. Beetlejuice is good. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've met David Della Roca, who played Funny Man in Boondock Saint. He is fantastic. If you ever get a chance to meet that guy, he is a freaking blast. Good guy, big baseball fan, big Dodger fan, good sport, hell of a cool guy. But on the other hand, I think I've shared this with you guys before when I met, her name totally escapes me now. Here I go again with the blank. This all started in the 50s when I turned 50. All of a sudden I couldn't remember names anymore. Who was in The Exorcist? The girl.
Linda Blair,
there we go. Yeah, when I met her, she scared the living shit out of me, man. She was, she's real big into these dog rescues. And if you don't own a dog, or you bought a dog, she's going right for the jugular. And it's almost like when you hit a baseball over the fence and you jump the fence to get your baseball and you look up and the lady's standing right there and you're like, I just love my baseball. And all your buddies are over there going, she's going to turn you into a gingerbread man. Get the hell out of there. Yeah, she was perfectly cast for that role in The Exorcist after meeting her. Wow. I'm sure she's a very kind and giving lady, but wow. Meeting her in person was an experience. It takes a lot to make you feel uncomfortable.
I tell you, who was cool from that flick was Sean Patrick Flannery. He was he was great when I got to meet him.
Yeah, I've always heard he's a good guy to hang out or, you know, to meet. He's real outgoing and engaging and everything.
Yeah, everybody, they had all the rules and told people to do everything, and he was one of the ones. There were a couple people there that were making sure. They were like, look, I know all these rules are sitting there. Look, where people were doing this stuff. And, I mean, he was just as mellow as could be.
Cool.
Engaging. He was like, he seen somebody with the Boondock Saints shirt come by, you know, his booth, that he hadn't seen before, and he pointed out that he hadn't seen that particular shirt, and he was like, hey, man, let me hit that. Grabbed the marker and signed it for him.
He
was just like, yeah, I mean, you just, and not all of them are like that, you know? I mean, that was exactly it. Hey, man, let me hit that.
You know, when you go to the con, sometimes you will be surprised of the guys you meet that you don't expect to be the highlight of the show for you and turn out to be pretty amazing people. It's, I go back to my experience meeting Pauly Shore. You know, I always liked this stuff. You know, you had to be on the Beavis and Butthead level to enjoy his stuff and everything. But back in the early 90s when he was doing the stuff on MTV and, you know, he had Son-in-Law and a couple other, that Jury movie and everything that he did, you know, they were pretty funny. They weren't fall out of your seat funny, but they were pretty good. So when I saw I had an opportunity to meet him, he was high on the list. And he was just miserable. I was standing there in line and I was watching the way he was interacting with people. I'm like, wow, this guy, he doesn't really even want to be here. So I just got out of line. And I just so happened, oddly enough, was walking around and I noticed that Anthony Michael Hall, who, of course, Weird Science, Breakfast Club, fame, he was standing there, had nobody there. I walked up to him, and I'll be damned if he didn't make the highlight of the show for me. He was just as cool.
You know what? He did that. He did something special with you, yeah, for your brother?
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't have to do all that, and it was his idea. And
he definitely ain't got to do that. Look, for those that haven't done this, generically speaking, they get paid. They have a baseline that they're going to assume that they're going to make dollar-wise, which means X number of customers and all that. And they're doing all these bookings up front and all this kind of stuff. And if they exceed that, then, hey, the host, if you will, isn't paying. But if they don't make it, then it's coming out of the host's profits.
Exactly.
To paying them off. And they kind of burn through some stuff sometimes that they'll do. You'll watch it. It's almost like there's a switch. They turn it off. You know what? It reminds me of the friggin' Santa Claus in the Christmas Story. Okay, get him out of here.
Yeah,
and then when they got the kid, they're trying to be as engaging as they can. And you can see some of that with some of them. They're turning it off and on. And sometimes you see this shit from these cats that they let the people come through. That they're not just humans being.
Yeah.
So for some of them, it's just a business, and not all of them. But, yeah, tell them about what old Mikey Anthony Hall did.
What it was, though, I walked up to him, and I cracked the joke with him. I said, hey, man, just want to let you know, I've always enjoyed your stuff. Came up in the 80s. Weird Science was always one of my favorite 80s flicks. And I said, as a matter of fact, I'll show you. And I pulled my phone up, and me and my brother are forever quoting movies back and forth with one another. And we went on a rant one night with Weird Science and damn near quoted the whole script back and forth, cutting up, you know. So I'm showing them all these texts that me and my brother are sending back and forth, right? And he says, dude, he says, that's excellent, man. He said, that makes my day. He said, where's your brother at? I said, well, he lives in Florida. He was supposed to be coming to the show, but stars didn't align, work didn't turn out for him, and he couldn't make it. And he says, oh, man, that sucks, man. He says, but you're in contact with him, right? And I said, yeah, I get up with him whenever I need to. He says, dude, pull your phone out, man. We need to send him a video. I was like, huh? He said, yeah, get your phone out. So got the phone out, and, he got everything straight. Got our name straight and everything. And the minute we started going with it, he turned into Gary on Weird Science like that. And, it just kind of – I figured it out pretty quick that he was playing himself in that movie. And it was funnier than hell. Because he gets on there, and he's looking at my phone. He's like, Dan, where the hell you at, man? You're supposed to be here with us. And so, of course, got his autograph, talked to him a little while longer and everything, shook hands with him, told him how much I appreciated it, and immediately walked to a remote corner of the con there and sent that on to my brother, who was having a lousy day, apparently, and that just made his day even better. So, yeah, man, it's cool when those guys do that. And as Todd alluded to, sometimes when you go to these shows, they've got the show Gestapo there that likes the I'll tell you another one that's good about fucking those guys is Flair. Flair has no use for the handlers. If Flair wants to do something, Flair is going to go do it, regardless of what the damn handlers are saying. Alice Cooper was another one that was like that. It was like, hey, man, lighten up. You know, it's all good. Don't worry about it. You're gonna make your money. But, yeah, that was cool, and it made the show. And, you know, all it did to me was go home and IMDb Anthony Michael Hall. And over the following couple of weeks, I watched a bunch of his movies.
Let me tell you, Weird Science is a legit Halloween flick.
Yeah. Weird Science,
God.
Part is when those chicks come up, they're in the bathroom, him and Wyatt are in the bathroom, and the two hot chicks bang on the door. Goes, what are you guys doing in there? And Wyatt comes out of nowhere and says, oh, Gary's just in here taking a shit.
Dropping wolf bait.
He slammed that door and slapped the shit out of Wyatt and then opened the door back. And that was Bill Paxton's first movie, if I recall.
It was an early Bill Paxton, yeah. Well, you know, he...
Terminator first.
Well, was that before or after Terminator?
Yeah, because I think Terminator was 84, so it might have been Terminator first and then Weird Science. I won't say Weird Science is like 86, if I'm thinking right.
Actually, our co-host was a pseudo-victim of a paraphrased reference on that. Tim, when we had those visitors a month or so ago, and we were doing the table updates, and we were in the other Tim's workspace, I paraphrase. I go, "Yes, anybody with the name Tim, you know he's an asshole."
Ah, yes.
I sure did. I paraphrased Weird Science.
That was when he went to the bar and got drunk. And he said, I was head over heels for this little crazy eighth grade bitch. Man, I was crazy for the woman, man. Yeah, and then she kicked him in the balls and called him a fag in front of all of his friends. Broke my heart in two. Yeah, that ain't all she broke.
Yeah. Dude, the extras that they had in that scene were friggin' ridiculous.
Yeah. She's in the Malaccas, Dino. That was such a good flick.
That oh, my God, yeah, that scene.
When Kelly LeBrock his parents said somebody's tossing off in the bathroom. I thought you were washing your hands. Oh, that was a great flick. Oh, man.
Oh, no kidding.
I think they were trying to get him to drink Old Crow, if I remember right. And he comes back and he's all liquored up. Because that was when he was in the back of the car.
Oh, yeah. How would you like a nice greasy pork sandwich served in the dirty ashtray?
Shit. Old Bill Paxton.
When she turned him into that big freaking turd at the end of the flick. Oh, my God.
He says, Emmy, for Christ's sake, will you cover yourself? And he throws him the towel, and he's standing there buck naked. Yeah, that was a good flick. That movie was funnier than shit. And, oddly enough, he played a dirtbag in there, and a less masculine one was Tony Stark. Robert Downey Jr. played one of the bad guys in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, well, his least masculine role was probably less than zero, but that's another story.
Yeah, that's another 80s flick that had a good soundtrack and everything to it. That was some decent watching. Talking about 80s movies and stuff you want me on watching, I've been trying to find Vision Quest.
Not a bad flick.
Yeah, she's never seen it. I'm like, you've never seen Vision Quest? She's like, no, I've never seen any of these 80s flicks. And it's like, oh, God. And it was such a good flick. You know, because, you know, back in those days, whenever there was a remote amount of athleticism involved in a movie, everybody had to look like Rambo, you know. But Matthew Modine looked like a damn dweeb, you know what I mean? He's just a skinny guy and just a regular dude. And now that guy
I still think that's valid today with the wrestling. It really is, trying to cut the weight and get there and change the weight class. It just absolutely.
Yeah, Vision Quest was
absolutely.
A good place. I can't find it on anybody streaming it. Can't find it nowhere. That and the War Flick, 1917. I can't find that streaming anywhere either. I reckon I'll go out and buy the DVD eventually because I've been wanting to see that.
Don't ring a bell.
I don't know. Have you guys seen by chance? It's a World War One flick, of course, 1917. But have you guys seen that whole trench scene when he's running and how they shot that? I mean, it was absolutely. They've got like a drone shot of it from overhead. It is absolute filmmaking insanity how they did this. I mean. You know, I always talk about Braveheart. I love Braveheart. That movie never gets old. But if you look in the background of all the fight sequences, the fight choreography was horrible. I mean, you got guys standing still. You got guys swinging swords in the air. There's even one part where a car drives by, and you can see a car driving in the distance. But this 1917 movie, there's a sequence where the guy is running perpendicular to the charge line. And he starts running, the actor starts running, and they've got a van or a trolley or whatever you call those things that they're like train tracks that have a movie cart or a film cart on it. And he starts running, right? And he probably gets maybe a 4 or 5 step lead, and then they tell everybody else to start doing their movements. This guy had to run Christ knows how many yards in a uniform. And pyrotechnics, explosions, and all this kind of stuff were timed. They took the general velocity of this guy's speed, and then they put it against the distance he had to run. And that's where the pyrotechnics guy put the explosives and everything. But if this guy was a step or two slower, Christ knows what would have happened. But the way the shot was done, there's no CGI, there's no BS in it. It is legit. That guy running his ass off, and you've got guys running in the other direction with explosions going off and everything. I mean, this guy's running full tilt. In boots, uniform, he's got dirt spraying in his face the whole damn 9 yards. I mean, how they shot that is beyond me. But it's absolute just mind-numbing. And if you have any affinity for film and you see something like that, you can't help but damn get goosebumps, man, because it's awesome as hell.
Oh, hell, that almost sounds like the things they did in boot camp and infantry training, but that's just me.
What was it? This is a AK-47 rifle. It has a distinct sound when shot in your direction. Was that a Gunny Highway? Or was it an M-16?
Yep.
M-16,
you referenced an AK-47 because that's what the opponent used.
Right. That was Heartbreak Ridge. There you go.
Yes. That movie was not a cluster flop. But to try to slide back, I really want to go back to, look, why is Beetlejuice not a good Halloween flick? Convince me.
Nah, that's a great Halloween movie. with the exception of Alec Baldwin being in it.
It's one of two roles I actually liked him in. I don't think I thought he was overrated for a lot of his other ones, but that's one of the two roles I liked him in. The that was a. But go figure, old girl freaking was more masculine than he was.
Oh, Gina Davis?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a knockout too, man. At least the way she was.
Her, you got to remember, she was doing all that archery stuff to try to make Olympics and all that. She's.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was, man, young Tim Burton putting stuff together. Wow. His edginess was seen in that.
So what about A Nightmare Before Christmas? You consider that Halloween?
I say that's
Christmas
a legit
movie?
Halloween flick.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't too particular about it, but I've seen it several times. It's not one of those. It's one of those flicks that I'll watch if it's on, but I don't go out of my way to watch it. But the storytelling is incredible. I mean,
oh yeah, and Oogie Boogie was so dark, man.
Yes, yes. Plus, you can't go wrong.
That was a great, great antagonist for a flick. My bugs.
Tim Burton's mind. There's got to be a certain amount of
LSD.
Disrupted. Yeah.
That too.
Because the movies he's had. Well, I mean, he was the guy to put Batman back on the map. And
he sure did.
But he didn't do it with a dark, almost too dark thing. He kind of had a levity to it, but still had an ability to keep a darkness to it, but not to the point where it was like anti, you know, almost depressing dark. But because he did the first two, did he not? And then the George Clooney and the Val Kilmer one, he didn't do, I don't think.
No, I don't think he was guilty for that.
Nah. And it shows.
Tim, good call, man. That's a solid flick. That's definitely one kind of, like Dave, I don't necessarily think of that for looking up, but it's one I would definitely stop channel surfing just because of the quality of it. And he did, I think what's kind of cool is he worked with old boy that did all the soundtrack stuff. Good grief.
Talking about the musician guy? Was it Danny Elfman?
Danny Elfman, yeah, because what was he doing with the band? I mean, what was it? Dead Man's Party was the biggest thing from the Rodney Dangerfield flick, Back to School.
Yeah. Yeah, he was real big with the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack, too.
See, that I didn't realize. He was behind that.
Danny
Elfman just... You know, I mean, it was Oingo Boingo. Really? And he did some other stuff that was definitely not Oingo Boingo.
He was another one,
Dead Man's Party.
There was a handful of those guys. It was always John Williams, Giorgio Moroder, Danny Elfman, Randy Newman, and there's a fifth one that I'm forgetting that always was behind the scenes with all of the soundtracks and everything. Now, you talk about Tim Burton, going back to him real quick. One I almost started watching the other day that I haven't never seen is Corpse Bride. It looks like I'd enjoy it. Corpse Bride. It's another one of those animated Tim Burton ones, kind of like Nightmare Before.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Just never got around to seeing it.
Probably because that, you know what, I can almost see a pause in age-wise as a parent to watch it. Because it was like Darren was old enough that it was okay in my case.
Yeah, they can absorb it, yeah.
And then in... kind of, as you know, she kind of got some of that guilt by association, which explains so much.
But both of your youngins turned out fine, man. So I don't know if it was luck or whatever kind of shortfalls you might have done parenting along the way, they didn't come back to bite you, because both your youngins are squared away good people, so... they were able to sneak in a couple R-rated flicks before they turned 17. I'm sure it ain't going to kill them, though. Now, you remember back in the day, Rally, you used to check your ID when you go into the damn movie theater, if you're going into an R-rated movie. Okay, you seen their remake in Hellraiser, right?
No. Okay, this is going to be interesting.
And Pinhead is now female, so there's a change on that. The problem with Hellraiser, the first Hellraiser kept you up at night. You want to talk about screwed up.
Just for the record, you want to know the shit I've had to overcome? Yuki benched those while she was pregnant with Darian.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you watched the first Hellraiser.
At least the original, she had to watch that, like, repeatedly.
Yeah. That first one will have you sleeping on the floor or the recliner for months. You'll never get on another mattress after watching that first one. The second one, I went to the theater to see, and I had a fake ID. And oddly enough, kind of funny the way things work, I went there with two of my buddies and three chicks. Well, three chicks, the one girl that was sweet on me, I went with, here's the backstory. I was more sweet on her friend who was there with a buddy of mine. And I was kind of, you know, the old 18-year-old rolling his eyes going, damn, you know, I can't believe I'm sitting here doing this. Oddly enough, that young lady turned out to be my first wife. And I guess I should have known right at that point, going to a movie with her, and it was Hellraiser 2, perhaps that was not the best start. But nevertheless, I went to go see that in the theater, and Jesus Christ, that movie damn had you damn looking over your shoulder the whole time, man.
Well, it did, because I sure did not have theater experience. That was... we saw it on video, and of course, given as small as a smaller TV screen, but the size of a Japanese apartment at the time, it probably was the equivalent of a theater experience. Now that I think about it.
Yeah, where a 32-inch TV looks like a drive-in, you know?
That was, if it was only that big then.
That movie was. But the problem is with Hellraiser is the Hellraiser turned into like a damn police academy after that, where they just kept putting out these Hellraiser flicks and they just weren't. They weren't hitting on a lick. They didn't scare you. They were just kind of plotless gore fest, and. I don't need to see a lot of blood and guts. You know, I just, if you want to go see a scary flick, it's more about not the violence, but the anticipation of violence, I guess is what I'm getting at. And, yeah, those Cenobites, man. You know, when the shutters went down and the chains come out and the hooks went into the damn skin, you're like, oh, my God. It was something else. But those last couple ones were just ridiculous. And now I see they're remaking it, and I'm thinking, man, you know, sometimes you're better off just letting it stay buried, if you will. We'll see. I mean, yeah. I hope it's good for the sake of the franchise. I mean, because Christ knows they can't afford to have another knucklehead version of it.
That's, yeah, lovely. The, man, no, just see, this can take us right down the, when do we got to stop with the quality of the four follow-on flicks, and how many times can we reboot the same friggin' flick? Yeah. I've seen that there's a number of things out there.
Yeah, it's frustrating watching the stuff because, you know, it's kind of like music. You know, you'll hear a I remember I brought a tape into work or a CD that I, back in the day when you used to burn CDs, and I had brought a CD in to listen to at work, and The Police came on, Roxanne, which, of course, one of the greatest rock songs of all time. And you get that little guitar riff at the very beginning, and the guy I was working with goes, damn, you downloaded some Tupac? No. This is Tupac. No, it's not Tupac. It's The Police. No, it's not. It's Tupac. And next thing you know, you hear Sting with the Roxanne, and you're going, and he looks and goes, what did they do, remake Tupac song? No, they didn't remake Tupac. This is The Police. This is the original guys. You know?
So yeah, people not understanding samplings.
Right. So, you know, instead of going out and writing your own lyrics, writing your own music, and making a song, you take somebody else's music and you do different lyrics to it, which is the same thing Weird Al did in a comedic way. You just change the lyrics to the damn song.
He wasn't the first by a mile.
Oh, no. But with movies, there are certain things that after a while, there's so much fresh material out there. If they're willing to just dig a little bit, go to any Barnes & Noble, and you can find an ungodly amount of untapped. Take, for instance, like Game of Thrones.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nobody.
There are. And there are authors that have done the variations of let's go with this, Lord of the Rings. How many?
Yeah.
That was a three-part that only touched on things. I mean, they skipped right past Tom Bombadil and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There are a ton of authors that wrote multi-book series. Or even, I think of, there was stuff that were compilations and all that. And maybe some of that stuff, and I wonder, truth be told, how much of that is, we don't want to pay these people. Look, I tell you right now, Dave, they could underbid you like it's cool, and you'd be happy to get an underbid compared to an established author.
Yes, absolutely. And I've said that often, man. Instead of paying Nicholas Sparks $1 million for another dittoed And not to anything for way you'll, Nick, if you're listening, my bad, buddy, fellow authors, much love. But it's a dittoed format. It's the same tired shit every time, and they film it somewhere here in North Carolina, check. It's a, you know, romance, check. Okay, sad ending, check. And they pay that guy zillions of dollars for the rights of his books, and they're all the same freaking books over and over and over. Whereas you can take somebody like me, you slip me damn, you know, the league minimum, which I think is $250,000 now. I think rights to the bare minimum they can offer you for rights to a book is $250,000 now. You know what $250,000 would do for me right now? It would at least ways let me put some gas in my truck, you know? And if they were to walk up and say, hey, we're going to offer you $250,000, I'd step back and go, I'll do it for $251,000, not a penny less. You know what I mean? Because, you know, to your point, I'm not published by the Big Five. I am just another knucklehead who wrote a book, wrote three of them. But nevertheless, the thought of having my story on the screen, oh, God, man, are you kidding? So, yeah, to your point, if there's some guy out there looking to save some money, just go find some of your – get on Amazon. And
All right, let me ask you another question on this. Given how bad Hollywood botches source products, let me ask you a question. So here's this. How would you play the bidding for credit purposes? Would you tell them, give me $100,000 more, leave my name out of it?
I would definitely try to worm my way into some creative control clause of some type or another where I would still have a voice in the direction, because I know Netflix is one of the ones that's most guilty about it, where they will take a popular book series and they will make a season out of it, and it's a success. I mean, people who read the books, watched the series, liked the series. People who watched the series said, damn, I didn't know that was a book, and then we'd go back and read the book series. But then what would happen is that would be it. And then seasons 2 through 500 would be based on the story. And whenever the term base gets on there, I mean, I could write up a Civil War thing with Jesus leading the Union Army, and I could say it's based on characters in the Bible. Yeah, I mean, I know that's a reach, but I mean, that's exactly what they do. And you see a lot of times on Netflix in particular where they will take a book series, and as long as they're going off the source material, they're excellent. But the minute they wander off it, you can see just a distinct difference in writing, and often takes away. And to me, it's kind of a sign of disrespect towards somebody's hard work and imagination. So, yeah, there would definitely be some type of creative control thing.
And if you could get that, the money to leave your name out of the credits, just saying.
Yeah. That way, when they ask it up, you're not to blame. So, yeah, because they can. They can really, I mean, take, for instance, Jaws. Jaws is a good example of this. If you read Peter Benchley's book, excellent book.
I have.
Okay, excellent book. And there are discrepancies in the movie versus the book. There are things that are different. But the movie was so well done that what discrepancies are there aren't enough to disrespect the novel. Godfather is another one. You know, Mario Puzo's work. Though there was a little bit of Hollywood shaking up of the plot and everything, it wasn't too far of a drift from the actual source material. So, and Game of Thrones was a good example of that because, and now George R.R. Martin, if you ask me, he's got to own his piece of the blame in that thing because he never finished writing it. We're still waiting on the end of that tale. I mean, HBO has already wrapped the story up, and it's been 3 years. He has yet to write the end of that whole storyline. And people are out there, you know, and, God, I think a lot of people, including myself, have kind of given up on it. And probably won't read the next book whenever it comes out because I'm not going to reread the other 40,000 pages from the other four books just to kind of catch my mind back up. But you can see when you're watching that, the turn, when you watch seasons 1 through 6 and then in 7, you can see the turn in the writing. And then in 8, you can really see the turn. And I guess for anybody who's ever written a book or a script or anything like that, it's kind of like your kid. You know, there's a lot of confidence you have in humanity when you drop your kids off at school in the morning. You know, you trust the cross guard to get your kids safely to the school. You trust the teachers to safely teach your children. You trust the cafeteria workers to safely cook the food. You know, you trust the bus drivers to safely drive your children home. It's no different when you write a script or a book or a screenplay. You're trusting these people to handle your body of work correctly. And, yeah, much to your point, Todd, that would be the big pucker factor with me. I'm sure my end, going back to my stuff with publishing, you know, you look at the damn dumpster fire that I went through with my first publisher. We go in a time machine and go back to January or February 1st of 2015 when that gentleman called me up and said, "Hey, I love your book. I want you to be in, I want to publish you." And my feet never touched the ground. Then a year and a half later, I'm 5 digits behind in damn royalties, and things ain't feeling as groovy as they were. But, yeah, there would definitely be some type of controlled piece that I would have. And, you know, if I'm willing to cough up the damn rights for $250,000 and they're saving all this damn cash, then they ought to be able to squeeze me a little bit of control status, you know.
I like it.
Or I just abandon the whole damn thing if they tear it up and I go write something else. You know, just say, okay, the hell with it, you know.
Nice.
So getting back to Halloween, Halloween viewing is some of the best. And one that I'll throw out there, and one, this is the movie that I, and it's not even really a movie, but this is the one that I'll blame for my attachment to the scary, creepy kind of love that I have for those types of movies and everything. Kindergarten. Hey, you got to remember, this is 1975, so the world was a different place back then. We didn't have peanut or gluten allergens. We didn't have, grief therapy and all that kind of stuff. When you fell off the monkey bars, you just rubbed dirt on, you kept getting it. But nevertheless, I remember kindergarten, they had a little Halloween festival thing, and they had, like, little hail bales in the auditorium there and everything. And they gathered all the kids in there. I was a kindergartner. And they showed Legend of Sleepy Hollow from Disney.
Yeah, man.
And I remember kids just getting carried out of that place by the dozen, crying, carrying the hell on. And, of course, what did I do? I thought it was cool as shit. I went home, started drawing the stuff in my bedroom. My mom saw it, the good, fine, upstanding Christian lady, saw it and was like, oh, my God, my son's a psychopath. But that one still holds up to this day. It's on Disney Plus now. I challenge you to go watch it if you haven't watched it in a while. It still holds up. Very, very good. I think it's like 20 minutes long, half hour long at the most.
Nice. I tell you what, you want to watch something scary for Halloween, I tell you what, go deep. Go old school. Go with some of our podcast mates. I invite you to watch The Legend of Boggy Creek.
Oh, yeah.
That, I tell you what, that was, you can decide how legit the documentation on all that stuff was, but I tell you what, those cats moved the hell out of that house. Just saying. They did not stay there.
Yeah, they boogied on out when they could, you know.
They, I still to this day, if a bathroom has a window in it, and it's on ground level, or porch level, whatever, I'm dubious. To this day.
It's kind of like me in deep water. If I get in water any deeper than my waist, man, I ain't in it. Second off, I could be out in the middle of a pond somewhere, fresh water, and I'm still looking around, looking for fins and humps and everything else. It's like, as long as I know it's catfish, bass, and bluegills, I'm all right. But you get in that brackish water, or even worse yet, ocean water, hell no. Nope, nope, nope.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as 30-foot sharks, Dave. Bullshit. Nope. I'm not doing it.
Oh, that's funny. Actually, I'm going to run it. Man, we ain't got time, so I'm going to try to pull this in 2 minutes because we're at 18 and change after the hour. The look, there was a big kerfuffle about cheating in a walleye tournament, a fishing tournament for a specific species, that those that don't know, you know, the difference between them. And let me tell you, that really hurt a lot of people because, let me tell you, the accepted social norm for cheating with fishing is hold your arms all the way out to make the fish look bigger. When you tell the story, the three-minute fight with the fish is now 12 minutes. It ran off 20 feet of line. Well, it ran off 30 yards of line. That kind of stuff. That's the fishing embellishment, that's the accepted social norm. It tells you something about how big the purses have got that these people would go to the lengths that they did. And there is no way of knowing with going back how many they cheated on. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, man.
All right, that being said, I did really good. We're not quite at 20 after. we're at crunch time, team. Just thought I'd mention it.
Yeah, man. reckon it's time to kick it around the horn there and get everybody's parting shots and everything. So what I will do is I will start over there with Granny. And, Granny, what kind of parting shots do you have this evening, young lady?
Well, I just hope everybody has a great rest of the week and just be good to each other and, you know, so.
Outstanding. Yeah, we hope you have a good week. Hope everything goes your way. Appreciate you joining us this evening. It's always good to have you aboard, as usual.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And Tim, I'm going to swat at your direction, the man who wanders in between the three tombstones.
Oh,
what kind of party
yeah.
shot? The legendary tombstones.
Yep, I need to paint some alpacas on them, except that might paint a bad picture. I don't know. Who knows? I don't have anything much. Pool's closed up. We're having some awesome. I'm going backwards today. Give you our weather report at the end of the show. It's been nice out. Probably a little too chilly to listen to the podcast outside, but plan on enjoying a little bit of the nice cool weather because I think Todd, correct me if I'm wrong. Aren't we about to dip down into some colder temps here coming up soon? But,
oh yeah, we've got some frost mornings this weekend. Just saying.
Really?
Yeah. Trying to take advantage of this nice in-between, the actual fall-like weather right now while it's around. But other than that, trying to relax when I can and just hope everybody has a good week. And we'll pick it up again next week. Everybody, I don't want to steal Todd's line, but stay safe. All right, back to you.
Well, man, it's definitely good to have you aboard this evening. Appreciate you joining us, man. Without a doubt. Have a great week. Now, Todd, what have you got?
I've got being flabbergasted at the moment because that between Granny and Tim, that only took like 2.5 minutes. Legendary. Not this is being recorded, right? Capable for replay? Because if I were like to write this out online, I would get fact-checked like it was cool. So we may actually have the potential for finishing a few minutes early.
Yeah, man.
Look, just for the record, if you don't do the house cleaning, the cobwebs and dust at your house do not count as Halloween decorations. Just thought I'd let you know.
Dang it, Todd.
Not that you can't double coupon them for a little bit and cheat it, but really they don't count. It's a fun season. Keep it fun. It's okay to do the scary stuff, things like that. It really is. But just keep with the spirit of the season. I know. Even Jeffrey Dahmer wouldn't have bid on that.
Very good.
In all seriousness, there is so much going on, so many things. Don't lose sight of the little things. Family, work, those people, we've got people that, how do I want to say this? We're not necessarily friends. We're not necessarily going to go out of our way to break bread with and that. But I want you to remember that those people that are not your inner circle, that you still keep close, remember their value. I'm going to throw some love out to Elliot and his family. just because. So if you want to know the story, y'all can hit me up afterwards. But Elliot and his family. So take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. Everybody's battling stuff. Stay in the fight. Stay strong.
Absolutely. Well said, man. Appreciate you joining us too, brother. Always good to have you here, being the anchor man for me. Very much obliged. Now, a couple things in closing here. I just want to tell everybody out there who was affected by Hurricane Ian. It was a pretty rough gig, and had a lot of friends and family up and down the Carolinas and Florida and Georgia. Mainly, the Carolina areas and Florida. Our own Dr. John was right there in the path. And if you've seen any of the tapes from Myrtle Beach, if you're like me and you spend a lot of time in Myrtle Beach, you recognize a lot of these landmarks and everything. And they were under 3 or 4 foot of ocean water. Here in Swansboro, we even had a picture of an alligator in the parking lot right in front of the saltwater restaurant there at downtown Swansboro, where the water had come up and the gators had come with it. Seeing video where people
Morehead
had sharks.
Morehead City, a water spout.
Yes, yes. So it's all perils of living here on the East Coast, especially the Southeast and everything with the hurricanes and whatnot. But just, you know, thoughts going out to everybody affected with that, and hopefully everybody's putting things back together if they got torn apart, and if they did not get torn apart, that they at least took a knee and said a quick thanks for their fortune in getting through that pretty ugly event. So that's one thing. The other thing, of course, is we've got the upcoming events. Here we've got if you're into the Funko Pop bobblehead scene, we are having a Pop Swap Lion Eyes Games on the 22nd of October. I'll be there. Pop Stro will be there. And many others. Dr. John's heading that up. And then we've got the Havelock Con, November 19th. That's the weekend prior to Thanksgiving. And I will be there. I believe Stro is going to be there, and a handful of our local brethren from the area, Josh Mayers, the Brothers Boyd, all those gentlemen will be there, so look forward to that. Then that following weekend, we have Grand Strand Con of Myrtle Beach. Spoke to a young man that runs a beachside hotel down there. He said they are up and running. They just don't have Wi-Fi, so we went ahead and booked our stay for the Grand Strand Con that will be running, I think, 26th, 27th of November. But he said, a lot of the beach resorts are in pretty rough shape, but they're out there busting their tails trying to get it put back together. And then, of course, lastly, the Jacksonville Con, happening on February 18th here in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Dr. John has a lot of stuff cooked up for Jacksonville. So, folks, if you're listening out here in the Jacksonville area, show up to these events, man, because the more support you show, the more they can do. And there's not a lot to do in Jacksonville, so if somebody's willing to take the wheel and go ahead and get it done, then please, whatever you do, support them. And they can keep right on doing what they do. Other than that, a quick tip of the hat to my Atlanta Braves, who swept the Mets in New York, thereby taking first place in the National League East. And I haven't checked the score yet because I didn't want to jinx it, but a win tonight or a Mets loss tonight guarantees winning of the pennant and going into the playoffs. Hopefully they'll repeat as World Series champions. I have been a Braves fan since I was 7, and if it wasn't for the Atlanta Braves, I would not have broken the ice with my lovely wife of 26-plus years, so Braves mean a lot. Love to see him win. And Aaron Judge actually made legitimate history by hitting home run number 62. And though I am nowhere near a Yankees fan, I got to respect an accomplishment when it's done correctly. And that young man hit a legit 62 home runs, thereby topping Roger Maris's 61 by one home run. And it was good to see Roger Maris Jr. out there being the gracious gentleman that he is, as his dad's record was broken by Aaron Judge. But other than that, hope everybody has a wonderful week. Be safe. And as Todd always says, try to take care of one another. Be kind. And I am going to ease into Atwill Manor. Cue in the old salty British lady. Bring an end to tonight's broadcast. Through the janky doorway. And there's a little hound dog sitting on the... Hey, Mika, how you doing, baby? Oh, you're a big issue. I'll tell you what. They'll never take me to a dog rescue because I'll come home with about a dozen of them. All right. So with all that being said, British lady, where are you at? And before I cue her in, thanks again for joining us here. Pop Culture Stars, you guys be safe this week. Happy Columbus Day, Indigenous People Day, second Monday of October Day, whatever you want to celebrate. Just enjoy the holiday. Be safe. And we will talk to you all again next week. Pop Culture Stars.
Be safe. Big hugs.
Where's that guy?